Hello, strangers. You're listening to the Strange Horizons Fiction Podcast. I am your host, Michael Ireland, and today's transmission is City Grown from Seed by Diana Dema. Originally published in the 7th of August 2023 issue of Strange Horizons, and is read by Emmy Christie. Diana Dema writes specs of fiction and the occasional poem, and her work has appeared in Corio, The Deadlands, and elsewhere. She was born in Romania and now lives in Ontario, Canada. You can find more about her on her website and Blue Sky, dianadema.com. Emmy Christie's novel A Cage and Restless Magic debuted in February 2024. She's also been published in Daily Science Fiction, Infinite Worlds Magazine, and Flash Fiction Online, among others. You can find her on her website at emmychristie.com. Now, settle in and let's begin.
City Grown from Seed by Diana Dema. Read by Emmy Christie. Content warning. Domestic violence. Domestic abuse. Long before you came along, I was myself just a seed in Rafa's pocket, something she fumbled with as she stepped on the plane, her other hand clutching her mother's. Small as I was, I sensed her fear. I tried to hum reassuringly. Above the ocean, I helped her fall asleep. She planted me soon after landing, behind the park by a graffitied wall hidden from view by maple trees. She seemed half ashamed, yet she came every day to water me and sit beside me. We can't grow without stories, and she made sure I never went hungry. At first, they were stories from home, full of her aunt's golden yeast pastries and hand-knitted dolls. Later, they were made-up tales of dragons that came to whisk her away from the cramped walk-up apartment, or fairies that did her mother's work while she slept, or spells that made you speak every language in the world. I loved all the stories, even those that made Rafa sad. Little by little, I bloomed. A single clock tower. There is a tower at the heart of every living city. No bigger than a blade of grass, with little dirt roads radiating from it. Then tiny red-roofed houses and a neoclassical theater and kiosks on every corner and markets and packs of stray dogs. At first, Rafa had to bring a magnifying glass to look at me. Then I grew large enough that she could count my windows with the naked eye. She worried about rain and raccoons. She brought a big glass bowl from home and set it over me like a dome. "I'm going to be in so much trouble," she said. And I found it funny how she switched to English mid-sentence as though she couldn't remember the words. When school started, she stopped coming so often. She only dropped by on Sunday mornings and crouched beside me, checking for new buildings. I didn't fit under the bowl anymore. The clock tower came up to her chest. Her stories changed. She told me about the boys she didn't like and about May, who she maybe liked too much and who lived in a big house in the suburbs with a garden and a barbecue and a garage. One day I saw Rafa from a distance, walking hand in hand with a girl. She'd grown tall, but I was taller. She looked at me sideways and turned away, pulling the girl with her. It stung a little. I didn't mean to grow the abandoned five-story garage by the river. It sprung up like a pimple after they left. I had no room to sprawl, so I grew inwards, roads knotting and twisting, buildings folding in unexpected places. I waited for Rafa to walk through my gates. I hung baskets of flowers on the lampposts and put up banners and a festival stage. I filled the streets with smells of honey-soaked pastry, of summer days and river picnics. Every house brimmed with Rafa's memories. It took a long time for her to come back, and she wasn't alone. She stopped at a distance, whispering in the girl's ear. Even though I wasn't pleased she'd brought someone else, I made myself as welcoming as I could, gates thrown open, road laid out like a carpet for them. They walked in holding hands, chuckling together. I made the sunlight bounce off windows and rooftops so that Rafa marveled looking up, and I could tell she remembered everything. "It's strange," the girl said. "This is your hometown?" Rafa mumbled, "Sort of," and I was so happy she'd come, I let it slide. I carried them deeper inside, and Rafa marveled at how large I'd grown. "We could actually live here," she said uncertainly, walking past the white-columned theater where she'd spent Saturday nights with her aunt. In the market, she tried a peach and gave one to the girl. "It's just like I remember." "It's a little creepy," the girl said. I brought them to the clock tower, the plaza around it bathed in golden light, and they sat on the crescent steps. The girl had found some chalk and was playing with it. "Let's write our initials on this wall," she said. Rafa asked, "Really?" And I didn't think she'd let her do it, but she did. She watched her friend draw the M and R across the bricks, and the sun went down suddenly. "That was my fault. It's hard to shine a summer sun when I'm angry." The girl looked a little scared. "Let's go back," she said, putting her arm through Rafa's. I didn't stop them getting out, but didn't help them either, so they wandered for a while until they found the gates. Rafa looked back for a moment before the girl pulled her away. After that, I didn't see Rafa for a long time, longer than ever before. I almost forgot her. At least, part of me tried, opening cracks in facades and digging potholes into roads and breaking windows so all the memories would drift out of houses. I grew wild. I grew chipped paint, sagging walls, glowing signs with letters missing, slippery things scurrying down dark alleys, ivy creeping up the theater's columns. Bony dogs howled in the night. There was a fire, and it left piles of rubble on street corners and black smears across the clock tower. When Rafa came back, I didn't see her arrive. You mustn't judge. I'd closed my eyes to the outside world by then and looked only inwards, perhaps hoping if I grew deep enough, I might emerge home again on the other side of the world. The gate was overgrown with brambles, and Rafa squeezed through it with her clothes torn and arms scratched. I didn't know what to do. One of my roads had started unrolling at her feet, eager to welcome her, but I pulled it back. It had been so long. I barely knew her. She made her way through narrow alleys, over fallen lampposts, around piles of bricks. I thought she'd give up, go back. But she kept going, even when I put the sun down and lengthened the night, even when I sent dogs to trail her in low growling packs, even when I filled the streets with rotting smells. She kept walking until she found the clock tower and collapsed on its time-eaten steps and the pigeons gathered around her. In a low voice, with her head in her hands, she told me a new story. The words fell like bitter rain after a drought. Halfway through, I tried not to listen anymore, but couldn't. I wasn't built that way. So I learned all about May, about the bruises Rafa hid under long-sleeved jumpers, about Rafa's mother, and how she'd died in the small apartment, thousands of miles away from home. "I came to see if I could bury her here," Rafa said. "But this isn't home either." If she'd have looked up just then, she'd have seen a crack zigzag across the clock face on the tower, splitting it in two. When she started walking again, I didn't let go. Roads spiraled tight under her feet and row houses duplicated turn after turn until she grew dizzy, stumbling back into the shadow of the clock tower. She slumped down on the steps and cried. She said between sobs, "I can't find my way in here, just like I can't find it out there." Something thawed in that hard, charred heart of mine then. I grew ashamed. Did part of me still want to keep her, spinning her around so she'd never find the way out? Perhaps, but I'd been lonely for a long time. Let us not speak of it any longer. I unrolled the road at Rafa's feet and opened the gates for her. She thought it a trick at first, but eventually she rose and walked away, swaying, unsteady on her feet. She mumbled, "Thank you." I didn't think I'd see her again. To be honest, I didn't think I deserved it. But a year hadn't yet passed when she came back with a woman someone knew. They stopped at a distance, and Rafa showed her the city she'd grown from seed. Though I opened the gates, they didn't come in. They looked at me for a long time, and the woman squeezed Rafa's shoulders, and Rafa leaned her head against the woman's. "I'll be back soon," Rafa said to me before leaving. Waiting wasn't so hard after that. For the first time, I let some of the spring come in from outside, sweeping fresh air through the winding alleys. I repainted houses, weeded gardens, cleared out rubble, chased away rats. Rafa kept her promise. She came back and wandered the streets and told me about Lucia, how she made Rafa's chest feel lighter, with more room to breathe. The next time, they came together. They walked hand in hand to the tower, stared up at the cracked clock face. "It's beautiful," Lucia said. She looked at Rafa, looking up. "We could live here a while if you want." I shivered down to my roots. Before Rafa answered, "I'd like that." I had found the house, her childhood house, yellow, single-storied, a lime tree by the door. I opened the windows, let the sun warm the walls. On the back of a chair, I hung a half-finished blanket Rafa's aunt had been knitting the day before the move. When Rafa and Lucia came to stay for the first time, a summer storm had been brewing outside. The downpour caught them at the gates, and they ran inside, holding hands. The rain didn't stop. It smelled so fresh and made them laugh so hard, I couldn't help letting it in. I lit streetlight after streetlight, like a trail of breadcrumbs to the yellow house, and the women walked inside, into the warm, dry dimness, and breathed in relief. I breathed in relief, and the rain swept my streets hard and deep, and it was as if, at last, I had a place in this world. I didn't listen at their door. Suffice it to say that the house had a content air in the morning, curled up on its street corner like a well-fed cat, and the street stretched playfully at the women's feet when they walked out. While Rafa chattered and counted all the buildings she remembered, Lucia fingered something in her coat pocket. At the clock tower, she pulled Rafa down onto the steps and showed her something in her palm, a seed, the seed of you. Can you believe you were ever that small? Lucia whispered something, and Rafa jumped up. "Of course, you can plant it right here. There's a garden right around the corner." Lucia hesitated. "My city is different, and I didn't live there long enough to grow to like it. It's big and dusty and gray and fast. It's noisy and overflowing. It's just what we need," Rafa said. She pulled Lucia by the hand into the small garden behind the clock tower, and they planted you there, between roses, in a patch of ground warmed by the morning sun. They watered you and marked the place with stones. "We'll need to get a glass bowl," Rafa said. They sat on the ground together, this part you remember, and Lucia started telling stories. She spoke about long-ago wars and long ship crossings and family grown strange, and I listened, too. I listened and watched a tower sprout from seed, gray concrete pointing at the sky. Rafa and Lucia watched over you. The outside sun seeped into my stones and from there into yours, and your new heart beat in time with mine. Your roots tangled with mine under the world. I felt you grow inside me, and myself expand around you, city around city, seed inside seed.
Thank you for listening to the Strange Horizons Fiction Podcast. If you liked this episode, consider leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice. And for the rest of this week's issue, please visit our website, which is strangehorizons.com. And you can also find links to our new podcast project, which is Strange Horizons at 25, celebrating 25 years of Strange Horizons. And whilst on the site, if you could please consider leaving us a donation on our donate page. Strange Horizons is an entirely volunteer-run organisation. We depend on the generosity of our community in order to keep bringing you new and diverse stories from around the world. Until next time, stay strange.